once again with the EOTC News Flash, episode 78, a token of our appreciation. I am joined by the piercer of spells himself, Mr. Steven. How are you tonight, sir?
Doing pretty well. Glad to be on finally. It's been a little while.
Yes. I even have a rotating door of guests, but that's okay. Is that a blanket hung over the window in your house there, Steven?
Yes. As we discussed in the preview, we were trying to figure out how to make the video look better.
Well, that really adds something to it. It's kind of like, I don't know, like caveman chic, you know, like they hang the skin over the window and I don't know.
Yeah. You should see my bedroom. I have blackout curtains, so it's like pitch black, so it's great.
EOT Newsflash After Dark.
Oh my gosh. You guys came here for magic, right? Let's delve into the life of Steven Pierce.
Let's talk about magic. Yeah, let's talk about magic. Let's do that instead. Yeah, so we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Wizards' inability to share data being one thing. A lot of data around week one standard results, and also just some general banter about things that are coming up in the near future. You'll be able to meet the team from the EOT Newsflash coming up very, very soon if you're at a very specific location on a specific weekend in August. But we'll get to that here in a little bit.
I'm not allowed to spoil it?
Oh, no, not yet.
I was going to cough spoil it.
It's not like we're going to GB Denver or anything like
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
And if they had listened to last week's episode, they would already know that. But,
I think Alex is getting on to me for not listening to last week's episode.
Steven, not taking responsibility here. That's okay.
Hey, man, I had like a crazy busy week at work. I didn't fit too many podcasts.
It's okay. But we'll dig into it. We'll you know, you're punished later or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But let's talk about FNM, Steven. You like FNM, right?
Yeah, I think FNM is a great way to like support your local LGS and you know to get people interested in Magic.
Yeah.
Personally, I have not been to FNM. In like 4 months, and prior to that, one FNM, it was probably like 6 months.
Yeah.
Because my last semester of college was pretty rough.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I've been to an FNM in a very, very long time. But recently, Wizards, well, like this week actually, Wizards decided to make a pretty significant change to what FNM actually, what they think FNM stands for. And this was all kind of kicked off by the change that there's not going to be any more FNM promos. So this year we've already gotten the great ones like Fatal Push and Aether Hub, but those are going away now and being replaced by Double Face tokens. And the rationale behind this is that the FNM experience is for the up-and-coming player who isn't ready to get on the grind yet but just wants to learn how to play the game and have fun playing it, and dissuade more seasoned players away from playing in FNM and going to play in the standard showdowns and inevitably PPTQs. And they have all this data that they think they can point to, but they won't show it to us. And they think that we're missing the point on what FNM actually is. So, Steven, what are your thoughts on this? This is a major change. For the past 20 years, Friday night has been Magic Night, and now they're saying it's not, essentially.
Well, I think it just comes down to what you get out of Magic and, like, your LGS. Because, you know, while I haven't been to an FNM in a long time, I still go to in-store events, like, yeah. Heck, I went to a couple of Legacy events prepping for SCG Atlanta this weekend, and it's just something I do, and it's just how I choose to spend my time. So, like, as far as FNM, like, it's sweet. I don't think the promos, like, ultimately matter, because if you're going to FNM for the promo, like, that's not the reason you should be going to FNM.
Exactly.
Like, it's just a way to blow off steam, meet new people, and have a lot of fun. Like, I don't think you should be going to FNM for the monetary aspect of it. Now, it's funny I say this because I know I've been a proponent in the DFW community. I wish there was a more competitive FNM. And the reason for that is, like, I'm traveling to, like, GPs and stuff, and I would rather play against a higher caliber of player. And if there's a higher payout FNM, like that happens. And it also gives, you know, like up and coming players a thing to strive for. Like they can go to that more competitive FNM, and if, you know, they do well, like it's a kind of like a stepping stone for them outside of just your now store championships that were game days.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely agree, you know, with the whole more competitive edge of FNM. Before I moved, you know, Common Grounds was my go-to store. And I would say that the caliber of player that was there on a weekly basis, especially for Modern, was pretty high. And it, I think it really just depends on the area that you live in. Like my first FNMs were at a Lone Star Comics by UTA. And the skill level there was way down here, which was good because it seemed to be a lot of new players were joining all in the game at the very same time, and the skill level was relatively level, and we all just kind of worked our way up together. Even though the first FNM I played in, I got to sit down against, you know, Blue Black Control with Jason the Mind Sculptor. Yeah, that happened.
It seems good.
I was like, yeah, Phyrexian Crusader. He said, that's really cool. Mana Leak, I was like, all right, that's fine. Phyrexian Crusader, that's fine. Jason Mind Sculptor, bounce it. I'm like, okay. Play it again. Mana Leak, okay, all right.
Okay. At least you didn't start playing Magic and thinking Wall of Swords was ridiculous, because how could anyone ever kill it? I started off on a red-white deck, and I was like, do I sideboard these things? Like, how do they get rid of them?
Dies of Doomblade.
It did at the time.
Yeah. But yeah, so like, and I agree with you, Steven. You know, if you go to FNM for the promo, you're completely off base. You have a much different objective as far as Magic goes. And yeah, I don't necessarily care if the prize level is really high. I know that's a pretty hotly contested issue on the DFW Magic groups, is, you know, where can I go and get the most bang for my buck? And I'm like, well, if you're playing FNM for the most bang for your buck, you're probably not doing things right, I don't think. And that's completely up to you what your objective is for Magic, but if you want to have that bang for your buck, you got to go to where the bang is.
Yeah, so. And I'm not saying that all stores should do it. It's just, it's nice to have that option. And one of the stores actually took up that call, Apex. I think it's in Irving or Arlington.
Yeah, they recently moved, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little too far for me to like justify going for FNM. Because I'm up in, you know, North Dallas, but, you know, it's whatevs.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I will go down there to support, you know, my stance on everything at some point here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, on a store-by-store basis, you know, if you're a store that wants to cater to a more, you know, hardcore group of players, that's absolutely fine. I'm blanking on the name of it, but there was a store that was just notorious in North Dallas for just being cutthroat all the time. Are you laughing because you know what store it is, Steven?
No, it's I've heard of the store before.
I think Gunslingers was the name of it. Just okay. That might be. What were you thinking of?
Oh no, I didn't know. Okay. I just remember like hearing people say it whenever they came into the PTQs at Lubbock.
Oh, okay, yeah, I think it was Gunslingers, and I don't think it's open anymore. But just notoriously known for the most cutthroat FNMs possible, which is you know. Whatever. If that's your scene, it's your scene. But yeah, for Wizards to come in and just give the de facto statement that FNM is not for, you know, enfranchised players, that's really kind of rubbing me the wrong way. You know, I don't play a lot of FNM myself, but that kind of sucks, you know.
Yeah.
You fostered a community and you're trying to tell us that it is one thing. I can imagine that some people are just going to go, yeah, right, whatever. We're going to keep doing this the way we're going to do it. And the fact that they're changing the promos of double-spaced tokens, I don't think is going to change that all that much for people, I don't think.
Yeah, I think it's actually kind of funny, the fact that they think that this change is going to alter or, like, change the mindset of the people who are already going to FNM. Because it's like, for those who are competitive or, like, a little bit more aggressive than they should be for FNM, because we have a couple people like that around, the token is still going to be something that's semi-iconic.
Yeah.
And just like, it's going to be a cool thing to have.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I collected one of each of the promos just because that was a collection I wanted to try and keep. And, you know, there are going to be people who are going to do the same thing. And I'll just be like, yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, it's certainly one thing, you know, when they're talking about how there wasn't a significant impact on attendance numbers when there was like a cool promo like Fatal Push or Anthem Hub was.
Oh my gosh.
Which is true, but how many times did you walk into an FNM, or if you walked into an FNM, Steven, would you know what the promo was for that month?
Whenever I was in Lubbock, yes, because there our FNM had no prizes to it. So I would know whether or not I wanted to like try hard, but not really, and like go for the promo, or I'd just be like, ah, whatever. I'm tired after like four rounds because we had 6-7 round FNMs a top eight in Lubbock.
No,
yeah. Goodness. So like it was fun because whenever we got to actually play Magic, like we got to play a butt ton of it, and the store owner was just like, yeah, I don't mind staying up to like 1, 2 a.m. You guys cool with that? Yeah, sure, let's do it.
It's a bunch of college kids. Of course you're fine with it.
Yeah, and then like we just went to Applebee's afterwards, and nice. It was great.
The bees.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I would never know. I know that some stores got like the little posters they put in the window that show the actual promo. But as far as I'm aware, Wizards never really said, hey, this week you can go win an Aetherhub promo like on their Twitter accounts or Facebooks. You would get the usual article saying, you know, here are the next couple months worth of promos. But there wasn't ever a recurring point of saying, hey, it's Friday night, go play FNM and go win a Fatal Push promo. They never really did that. So maybe if they did, I don't know. And just to have the data collected, you know, the data they have collected apparently for only a couple of months is just really, really shoddy if you ask me.
It's not just a couple months. They can just go back and look at all the people who signed up for FNM for like the past 5-6 years.
Which is true, yeah. But this hasn't been a problem. I mean, the quality of FNM promos has not been really called into question up until really recently. As
you mean
as
whenever people started to complain?
Exactly, yeah. I mean,
because
I never really
okay
cared.
Like again, like I had mentioned in the preview, I think this is part of just the change in gamer mentality.
Yeah.
Due to like outside factors. So I understand where you're going with your point, but I don't think that it's a good defense.
Yeah, I can see that too. And really, like what it comes down to, I think, is, you know, if Wizards can say what they want FNM to be all they want, whether or not the community as a whole listens to them and says, yeah, okay, fine, whatever, you know, all of our enfranchised players now go to our standard showdowns and do that and have our new players come in to play FNM, it's not going to impact anything like overnight. It might not impact anything ever. And as a matter of fact, I would be surprised if it actually did. But yeah, I mean, they've done the open house event, which was kind of cool from what I understood. There was a bunch of shops in my local area that held a ton of them and got some really good feedback from them. That's great, but you're not going to change the mindset of an entire community with just one article and taking away their promos.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
I don't get why takeaway was what they went with. Like, why not like phase this out and like provide the promos in addition to, or sorry, provide the tokens in addition to the promos, except like instead of the top two players at each FNM getting the promo, like you go down to like, I don't know how much the tokens would cost, but like try doing the top four plus like six randoms throughout the event. Because I know with the promos, you were supposed to do the top two and then one random. Yeah. Like, just try and provide, like, hey, look, come to FNM, you might randomly get this. And if you do well, you will get this.
Yeah, like, or, like, make it be you get a promo or get the token just by entering FNM, which is really cool.
Although I think, like, you'd have to limit that to one token a month because, like, that'd be a lot of cards.
Yeah.
I mean, they can just print whatever they want. I'm sure they're, like, you know, costs associated with it, but
they could
fill the extra sheets on their you know sets with those tokens rather than just if they're double faced because that is printing problems from whatever.
Yeah, but I see where you're going though.
But yeah, like they have a method to implement these at not a high cost. But I'm sure someone's already done all the numbers and like just doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. So, the one comparison, I was listening to Evan Irwin's Magic Mike's today, and he was talking about how when he was working for Star City Games, he introduced the Star City Games game nights, which a lot of stores would hold on various nights of the week, and it was like a supplementary F&M sort of, you know, it could be modern or whatever format you want it to be. And Star City Games created their own, you know, merchandise to go with it, like the little creature tokens, the little pins and all that stuff. You know, that's another way to kind of supplement F&M if you want to have an additional night to have play Magic when it's both supposed to be more of a casual environment is what the goal was. Whether or not that was actually the case is completely, you know, irrelevant. But I just think that there's to take something away like this and expect the entire face of a Night of Magic to change is a really it's the wrong way to go with things. And I hope that Wizards sees that and they're like, you know what, guys, we were wrong. And that's a rough thing to say for them to admit that, but I can definitely see it happening. I mean,
are you sure? Because hey guys, we needed 2 more days of data. Oh, by the way, we're taking away the data you see so that we don't look as silly sometimes.
Yeah, but if you complain enough, we'll eventually fix it for you. If you don't like
it. Yeah, we'll take away the problem by making it not exist because you won't know it exists.
Exactly. If you complain about rotation enough, we'll let you have Gideon in standard for 2 freaking years.
Hey, no, like... Okay. The rationale behind changing that back, like, I think that was good.
Yeah, let's not get into that. But
that's a different topic.
Just goes to show that there is a precedent set for people complaining enough, and Wizards will eventually listen. Which,
yeah,
if they do, they do. That's not the point. Just the point is, keep going to F&M. Keep going to your standard showdown. Keep going to your PPTQs, your in-store events. Keep going to these things and keep playing Magic. That's what I think. Like this is to me is all completely irrelevant.
Yeah, it's just like do whatever you have fun with, because that's the whole point of Magic. It's to, you know, relieve stress, have a good time with friends.
Yeah,
just play silly cards.
Just play. Yeah, if you're Steven, you play the Defender deck.
Oh yeah, that deck was so a blast.
Let's talk about standard. Let's talk about actual Magic cards, though. Let's do that for a change.
And, all right, I'm down.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about standard. That's a weird thing for me to say. We had our first week of actual Hour Devastation standard. It took place over in Cincinnati, Ohio, with Star City Games, our stop on their SCG tour. And yeah, let's say we break down the top 8 here. So what do you think about that? And just kind of talk about how, frankly, diverse the format is.
Well, that's always going to be the case for the first week, but yeah, let's do it.
From where we were to where we are now, I think.
Oh yeah,
very very nice. So in first place,
but 3 tower decks made the top 8.
yeah, kind of thing. Yeah.
All right, we'll leave that horse alone.
Yeah, let's do that. So in first place, not 1. Not 2, not 3, but 4 color control. Have you ever seen a control deck win a week 1 event like this, Steven?
No, because typically aggro is like all over the place week 1.
Yeah.
And the guys, like, only 1 Gear Hulk is just so shocking.
Yeah, right? So here's our list here. 1 Torrential Gear Hulk, 1 Limvala, 2 Dovenbond. It's his only 2 of, like, actual what I'd call a threat. 1 Jace of Avalor's Secrets, 1 Nahiri, and 1 Nicol Bolas God Pharaoh, and then 26 of your Glimmers, your Essence Scatters, your Magma Sprays, and Harness Lightnings. The full just guy control package. What do you think of this list? This is just absurd.
So for like later in the season, this list is like, oh, maybe this is just finely tuned for the meta, and like this is just like perfect and what we should be going off of. But like early in the season, it's funny because it gets the mentality of, oh, this was just a Treebinder deck.
Yeah.
But I mean, to be fair, like if you start your process, you know, back whenever you get the full spoilers, like, you can figure out things like this. Oh, it's just not very common.
Yeah, unless this guy is like, you know, Michael Hamilton here is like a time traveler, and he just took like the PT winning deck, you know.
Oh, that's quite a stretch. I don't think an SCG has mirrored a PT that followed it.
No, it really hasn't. But maybe this guy's pulling from tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay, that was fine. That was a good setup.
But so yeah, like, just to see a deck like this just win an event like this is absolutely kind of insane. But he is showing the power to a lot of new. A new authorization cards. You know, Nicol Bolas shows up as a one of. We're seeing Supreme Will. That's actually about it. a couple of the defeat cards on the sideboard, but
those are it for the new ones.
A Braid is really good against other Gear Hulks.
This is just strange. Like, it's cool. Yeah, I like it, but I don't think I'd play it.
No, I mean, I've played some janky control decks in my life, but this is rough. The fact that he's not playing Hour of Devastation is quite interesting, I think. If you listened to last episode, which I know Steven didn't, Sean and I basically talked about that card for the entirety of the episode and how dominating we thought that card was going to be. And that doesn't seem to be the case here, so, like, Let's kind of go through a couple more of these lists here, Steven, and then circle back to Hour of Devastation and talk about why that didn't show up in the numbers that we thought it might have. So in second place, we have Jonathan Rossum playing White-Blue Monument, Oketra's Monument to be exact, which is basically just a white weenie aggro deck that makes the things cheaper with Monument. How do you like Monument here?
Well, I think it's a really cool list that came about due to things being posted by Wizards from the 5-0 leagues.
Yeah.
But I think this deck's pretty cool. I played it with it some this week because we've been testing Standard because it's the only deck we haven't figured out yet for Atlanta. Mm-hmm. The deck is, like, surprisingly resilient because it just does everything.
Yep.
Like, you have a high land count, so you can play all your guys and keep cracking your clues to like, dig through your deck. And then you have these Dustodons that just absolutely blow people out.
Like, holy cow, how good is that card in this deck?
Oh, it's really good. And it's really crazy, too, because even though, like, they're just running three, but the amount of dig you have in the deck, it's like you're going to be hit by one.
Yeah, and exactly. Because you've got...
The only downside to the deck is if you don't hit Monument, like, it kind of feels like it just dirtles. I mean, it dirtles with Monument, but it dirtles more just not doing anything, and it doesn't feel quite as good.
Yeah, and you mentioned the amount of dig that it has, so we're talking about Thraben Inspector, Bygone Bishop, and Cloud Blazer to accelerate your health through the deck, and then, like you said, Dusk Dawn is an absolute house here, because casting the Dusk half clears the board usually, and then the Dawn half brings every creature in the deck back to your hand, which I think is absolutely insane. I think this is really cool. This is high on my list, actually, for GP Denver this year or next month.
Actually. Yeah, I think it should. Yeah.
That and then the blue white flash decks that are sort of showing up again with Nimble Obstructionist and Avacyn also look quite good. Yeah.
Yeah. Nimble Obstructionist seems sweet. I know a lot of people like disregarded it because of Whirler Virtuoso, but I've played so many matches these past 2 weeks, and I have not seen a Whirler Virtuoso yet.
Really? That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was White-Blue Monument. And then in third place, we had Four-Color Emerge, which is basically the old Temur Emerge decks, but with a little bit of black thrown in for Grim Flayer. And so we get to see Champion of Wits, brand new card from Hour of Devastation, showing up here to be the filter effect that this deck needed. Elder Deep Fiends, Grim Flayers, Haunted Dead, Prize Amalgams, Ishkana, and the whole package of the transverses, Grapple with the Pass, and Kozilek's Return. How do you like our little Emerge Eldrazi buddy sticking around a little bit longer here, Steven?
It's pretty cool. I think the Vessel of Nascency and the Grapple with the Pass package is like really sweet for just being able to go through your deck like it always has been. And then the addition of Strategic Planning plus Champion of Wits, like you can just dump cards into your graveyard pretty consistently. It's why I think that more decks should be boarding at least two Crook of Condemnation, regardless of whatever you're playing, because there are just a lot of good like graveyard synergies already, like whether it be Gear Hulk, Emerge, Delirium. The only deck that you really don't hit with a Crook is Mono Red and then the Monument deck. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you still have Crook to hit their Destodon, so it's, like, not completely dead if, for some reason, you have to grind harder than them. Say you're playing the Abzan Tokens deck.
Yeah, I can behind that, yeah. What's interesting to me is that the original Temur Emerge list, or even just the Blue Red Emerge list, couldn't actually ever cast their Prized Amalgams. This prize actually amalgams, can. Yeah. Which I just think is, it's cute. I never understood why they wouldn't just put a swamp in the deck, but I'm no standard master. But I just think
it's like the opportunity cost. You're right; it didn't make sense. Yeah,
yeah. But like the sideboard here is, you know, we've got Dissident Mindbender, we have Liliana of the Last Hope, Bonte's Last Reckoning, Never Return. I mean, there's a lot of black in this deck, so I can totally see the appeal for it. It just turns like this more mid range build. Not hitting the pieces of your engine, though, makes this seem like a real dirtle fest, more so than Blue White Monument is without the monuments. So, not super high on this one, but I do like Elder Deep Fiend quite a lot.
Yeah. Oh, did I show you the sweet picture from a couple days ago with the Elder Deep Fiend?
I don't think you did.
All right, so I've been working on a Blue-Red Alchemist deck, right? And
Was this from the screenshot you sent to us on the chat?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because I've been like tuning this deck, and I forgot about Flame Lash, so I started with Refuse to Cooperate, and I hit a new record, and I refused an Elder Deep Fiend, and my opponent was at 7, and it was so great too.
Holy crap.
My opponent forecasted the Deep Fiend so hard because whenever you go to Emerge, you have to first like sack a creature, then pay costs.
Yeah.
So Moto can recognize, you know, how much the difference is supposed to be.
Right.
So my opponent's like creature went to the graveyard and then came back. And I'm just like, oh, we're holding up this four for forever.
Yeah, you have sent us a number of refuse to cooperate screenshots of just like your opponent dying on the stack after casting Hour to the Station. I mean, just any number of ridiculous things, and that card seems pretty good actually for the meta right now. Maybe it's just a blue red spells deck, right? Just kind of like pseudo control almost.
No, it's not. It's not control in any regard. It's Thermo Alchemist.
Right.
It's kind of like the old one, except I don't care if people know, but Firebrand Archer is better than Jace Wren's Prodigy was for the old deck, and like Jace was like stellar. But this card is just absolutely insane.
That's high praise. And that's the one that you can tap to deal a point of damage to all opponents, correct? And
then no, Firebrand Archer is the one in a red 2/1 that anytime you cast a non-creature spell, it pings them for one.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So like, it's an aggressive body that you can just keep pushing through because of your removal. So like, if they're playing a creature deck, you can just point all the removal at their creatures and just like, all right, get this out of here. I'm going to hit you.
Yeah.
Although if World of Virtuoso picks up, that card probably goes down in value some because it can't actually get in.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like a 2/1, isn't it? Like it's a pretty,
yeah, it's a 2/1. Yeah. So it hits hard.
Surprisingly big body. So when you dive it on Moto, you know who it was. It's that guy down in the corner. All right, in fourth place, we have Steven Dykeman playing Black Green Energy with absolutely no new cards.
Dun, da, da, da.
Still a good deck, though, right?
Yeah. Wait, it's playing Crook of Condemnation in the sideboard.
It's in the sideboard. It doesn't count.
Oh, come on. You are right, though. Yeah, there's not. But it's kind of interesting because even like the PTQ on Magic Online, there wasn't too much innovation. Like you just go with the solid choice. Like Mardu Vehicles won that PTQ, and in like Braids are everywhere, and like it still does well.
Yeah, exactly. And as we kind of go through, there's about, let's see, over 64 places worth of deck lists to work through here from the Cincinnati Open, and we see a lot of different decks, and we'll see a lot of Mardu kind of sprinkled throughout the bottom of it. So, yeah, the safe choices were still there and definitely still did well. White Blue Monument took fifth place in the hands of Ben Weinberg. We have Mono Red Aggro, Jonathan Job. And you look at this, and you typically think of Mono Red Aggro as like a bunch of one and two drops, not Glory Bringers and Reality Smashers.
Yeah. They're so, just the top end.
That's a big top end.
It's true.
That's a big top end. So we've got Onkrob Crasher, Urshiger Kenra, Eldrazi Obligator, Falcon Wrath Gorger, Glory Bringers, Reality Smashers, Soul Scar Mage. That card's pretty sweet. Thought Not Seer, Hazoret the Fervent, because why not?
That card's a beating.
Yeah. Karizev Skyship Raider with her little pirate monkey, and Chandra Torture Defiance. Like, what do you make of a deck like this here, Steven? This just seems kind of goofy, if you ask me.
I think this deck was actually the perfect deck to bring to week one, because, you know, it's, if you don't know what to do, play aggro. Like, that's a pretty good stance for like the first few weeks of standard, because if people are trying to dirtle around and they don't have a tuned list, your aggro deck is naturally going to do better against them, because you're going to be hitting them harder and you like take fewer turns and you're just like, okay, yeah, you weren't able to assemble your combo, like, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
It's like you didn't find an Elder Deep Fiend to flashback your Kozilek's return, like, okay.
Yeah, and occasionally it just, like, if the game goes long, it's playing 24 lands too, so eventually it could just start casting these 4 and 5 and, in some case, well, yeah, 4 and 5 drops, which if you expect to be a regular Mono Red Aggro deck, you just get killed out of nowhere by Glorybringer and Reality Smasher. I'm like, who sees this kind of stuff coming? And of course, he's this, let's see, it was Jun's actually playing, you know, Rune Map Ruins, Sunscorched Desert. So he's got some reach in the deck too, which I think is just, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's really, yeah, it's really frustrating to Sweltering Suns. And they have like a desert in play, and then they go Ramnup Ruins, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm just dead.
I want to know if he killed anybody with Sunscorched Desert this weekend.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, they're at one, and he's playing four of the damn thing, and he's like, ping you? Like,
there's like no reason not to for this deck. It's just like free. It's just free. It's great.
Yeah, like, it's such a random, out of nowhere deck, but it's, yeah. Week one, if you aren't ready for an aggro deck, especially mono-colored, you're in for a bad time.
Yeah.
Really bad time. So let's move on to some of the plays with Adam Bowman's Mono Black Zombies, which, again, isn't playing any new cards. But it is playing Kalitas in the main board, which is kind of cool. So
I think that's kind of the new standard now.
I think so, too, yeah.
Some testing of zombies, some people are up to like 3 Kalitas in the main, just because you have to get through the Teemer Energy decks that can like clog up, or like they just have too much removal.
Yeah. Oh, I also like having Voldaren Pariah in the sideboard as well to kind of have like that triple end effect. Yeah, that seems pretty efficient as well.
Yeah, and what, it's a 6/5 flyer whenever it flips too?
Yeah, it's big. I had it at the Eldritch Moon pre-release, and it cleaned house for me a couple times.
Right on.
But yeah, sometimes even 6/4 dragon, it's fine. Nothing to scoff at. And then in eighth place, Jason Morgan was playing Teemer Energy, which is pretty much just dudes.
Yep. I mean, dudes the deck.
Yeah, dudes not deck. Yeah. I like seeing Ronas the Indomitable in here. I like a good god card.
Yeah. But, Ronas is hard to answer outside of our devastation.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, all the gods are. By the way, I saw a list of Jund Death Shadow that's playing both Hazoret and Ronas. LSU is actually playing on a video that I watched last night. Never activated either of them.
Oh, did they just die like before they got a hit or what?
Yeah, he was always dead usually. Yeah, he would have like one more card in hand for Hazoret, or not enough mana to actually activate Ronas' ability, or his Death Shadow wasn't quite big enough, or the Tarmogoyf had just gotten nuked by, you know, Graveyard Hate. And it was funny to watch somebody who's as good as LSV is, who can probably win an entire tournament with like a pile of, you know, Islands and Stormcrest for crying out loud, but to see him just like struggle through these events with a deck that was just probably a fluke when it 5-0'd its league is pretty funny.
I mean, you can run hot.
Yeah, sometimes you run hot.
Not necessarily a fluke. Pilots can, like, I think a more experienced pilot on like any given list is scarier than like someone who just like picks up the deck and has like a high level of play skill. Although like LSB doesn't like qualify in that. Like he's just the nuts. But yeah.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting point. Is like, and I'll use a personal example here. The PPTQ that I took Bant Eldrazi to after playing it at one FNM and making the finals of that PPTQ, like you said, you know, it's just like there's a difference between high skill level of player and, you know, just running hot, I think, in some cases, which is, you know, it happens sometimes. And
yeah.
When it's you, it feels really good.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, when I told people that it was my first time playing the deck for real, people were like, no way. This kit, no. No.
Yeah.
Humble brags.
I like to tilt people whenever I play Legacy, because I play Storm, and it's just like, oh, yeah, this is my first GP. And you just like, okay, I counted to 10, I did it.
That is a lie. We are looking at the kid who was top 8'd 2 Vintage Championships with Storm. And that's harder to do than
I've only like I've only played into as well.
Yeah. Don't be fooled by his boyish good looks here, people. Steven will destroy you. He is the oncoming Storm.
I think Caleb Scher gets to keep that title.
Well, he's been playing it forever. You get to be tonight. You're the oncoming Storm.
Okay, thank you.
You are welcome. That's a title. You keep that. So let's dig a little bit more into Cincinnati here. A couple of things that were popping up. Of course, Mardu Vehicle shows up. Various Grixis and Blue-Red Control decks also showing up and, you know, kind of making themselves known. Kind of looking through the list here, Steven, was there anything that really stuck out to you as just kind of curious or something you weren't expecting to actually show up this weekend?
Not particularly, because I thought the format was going to be mostly wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, like through our testing, like we could not find a deck that we really enjoyed. It was more of like we just needed to play a deck for a while to get used to it and like we could start doing well.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think the five color planeswalkers from Todd Stevens is really sweet.
I was just looking at it actually.
outside of that, like everything's kind of like as to be expected. Like you got a couple of ramp decks that popped up. You have the Eldrazi list that emerged because of the desert lands, like they're just great for those decks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that, you know, still the devoid mana confluence like hasn't made these things, but just kind of goes to show like you need more utility on a land like that.
Yeah, that's a really good point too. So kind of like let's look forward to next week, and you know, like the next couple weeks actually, you know, obviously we have a truncated amount of lists coming out of the dailies. You know, we're looking at 5 lists a day now. Looking at a wide open field like this for, you know, someone who plays a lot of competitive Magic, Stephen, don't give us away anything, you know, they're working on, obviously, but if there's a deck or an archetype that you would feel comfortable taking into a field like this, what would you recommend for people who are kind of looking to get an edge at their next big event?
So I think I would start off with the White Blue Monument deck, just see if you like that style of play, because it's pretty resilient if you can hit the monument. Like, even though Abrades are running around, like, you really, like, if they don't play a threat before they destroy your monument, well, actually, okay, it really depends on if you're on the play or the draw. Like, if you're on the play and you're going to go monument on 3 and they were on the draw and they just Abrade it then and then they play a 3 drop, that's really bad.
Yeah.
But if it's flipped, like, that's fine because they're spending their turn 3 to do that and they most likely didn't have a, like, 1 or a 2 drop depending on what archetype you're playing against. Well, they have Abrade. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would start with White Blue Monument. I think the ramp decks are actually surprisingly powerful, but I don't think someone has figured out the right mix yet. I know.
Totally agree, actually, yeah.
I know one of the guys over on the First Strike podcast had mentioned that like he was doing pretty well at something.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I think it's around. And then I think the the Planeswalker deck, that's a deck I would pick up just to tinker with and try. Naturally. Because, like, Oath of Nyssa plus Planeswalkers, like, I'm sold.
That's,
like, let's do it.
Right there.
Yeah. I will try it at least once or twice.
Yeah, I think if it comes down to, like, the 11th hour and I just don't have anything to play for Denver, I will probably auto-default to 5-color Planeswalkers.
Yeah, just give it a go. Be just, like, here we go.
Like, how do you spend $70, Alex? You play all the colors. You just play like, no fear.
Herpaderpy magic at its best.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm definitely with you as far as, like, decks that I'm looking at right now. And I am scouring the list much, much closer than I was, than I normally would be. I do like the red-green ramp decks. I think that, you know, being able to fire off Ulamog after going from Hour of Promise on 4 and then hitting double Sanctum of Ugin and then hitting Ulamog on 5 is still, that's going to end a lot of games. And I think that's really, really powerful there. And having, again, Oath of Nyssa to kind of churn through the deck a little bit faster is pretty sweet there. Wipeout Monument, I'm also pretty high on as well. And I also like these blue-red, you know, pseudo-Grixis control decks that are splashing just like a single nickel bolus to just go way over the top. And I'm kind of trying to figure out what the trick is to the mirror, or just, you know, in general, you know, what if they kill all of your Gear Hulks? You know, what's plan B at that point? So I think I've got a couple ideas, but...
The trick to the mirror is being on the draw.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
Like, the card quality in that matchup is... Or the card quantity is more important and then going first there.
Yeah.
Because you want to hit your lands.
I totally agree with that, yeah. And then having Supreme Will as a constant filter less than a counter magic, I think, is pretty important as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. But hopefully I'll be able to get in some amount of testing, so that way if I do default to a control deck for Denver... I don't have to walk into an event never actually playing the control deck ever, but it's kind of my bread and butter, so maybe, you know, play skill, better lucky than good? I don't know. Or maybe just mono red all drowsy, we'll see what happens.
Hey man, better lucky than good comes up whenever you can't beat the top of someone's deck. Oh, so rough.
Sometimes you're just running hot, though, and it's all the luck in the world and it's in your hands. But yeah, so, like, given, like, the results of Standard this week one, obviously it's very, very early in the format, you know, how do you feel about Standard right now?
I really like it. Definitely in a lot better place than it was with Marvel and Felidar Guardian. Mm-hmm. Like, while I think, okay, no, Marvel, like, it sucked. But with Felidar Guardian, like, there was some interaction, and it came down to a lot of, like, how you wanted to sequence the game.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of cool because, like, the Mario versus Felidar Guardian, like, the matchup was, like, it was supposed to be favored for Mario, but a good Felidar Guardian player could, like, navigate their way through it.
Yeah.
And it was just cool to, like, be able to watch the culmination of, like, a plan play out. Like,
yeah,
you're just,
I,
like,
agree. I completely agree, yeah.
We're going through this route rather than just, you know, the value energy plan that they could do with the Virtuosos or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, here's one for you, Stephen. With Standard being shaken up as it has been, wild baseless speculation time, might anything get unbanned before the Pro Tour?
No, not before the Pro Tour, but I could see... I could see Smuggler's Copter making it off.
Yeah,
I think that there's enough hate for it at the moment that it's still one of those, like, must answer things, but let's be honest, there are a lot of must answer threats in Standard right now. I think that's just because of, you know, the power creep with the creatures. And I'm not saying that's a problem. It's just, like, the development that Magic has gone to at this stage.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, actually. I could also make a pretty decent case for Reflector Mage, possibly. Not having Collected Company in the format anymore, maybe. And how do you get Alex to play more Standard? You let him play sweet blue-white cards.
But you can't give Monument access to Reflector Mage.
I think that's
too much.
Steven, do you know what you just did? You sparked you. I feel like I'm 5 again. There's a happiness inside of me that wants this to happen. And
yeah, I want it to happen. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I don't think there's another BNR update until after Ixalan. So.
Yeah, it's after the Pro Tour.
Well, no. I don't think they were doing the one after the Pro Tour, right? Because
they changed it again?
Yeah, because they were saying that the frequency of the BNR update was like causing too many problems with how people were valuing their cards. Like they didn't want to admit that like the secondary market was involved, and they didn't want there to be a consumer confidence problem each time a BNR this came up.
Yeah. So the next one is – so the most recent one was June 14th.
Right, which was the
– Yeah, so I'm trying to find that program. One. And then the next one will be August 28th. So
– Oh, so there's one. Okay.
Yeah, so after – so we're going to see it after GP Denver. That's interesting.
Nothing's going to happen in standard. It's okay.
No, nothing's going to happen. Modern, who knows? Legacy, who knows? Vintage, who knows?
They just need to get Gitaxian Probe all the way under the rug with Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time and just ban it in Legacy. I'd be super sad, but yeah. I will play that card whenever I can.
Yeah, like I've been looking at a lot of Legacy lists recently from MTG Goldfish's, you know, This Week in Legacy articles, and Legacy looks to be in a really good place. And if there were enough stores in here to actually play any Legacy, I might be inclined to finish out some decks.
Yeah, you should try out Magic Online, man. Some things can be expensive because they just haven't been reprinted in a while, but it's worth a shot.
Another hole in my wallet. That's okay.
Oh yeah. Well, it doesn't have to be that big. Like there are different services you can get to like rent cards, and it's really cool.
Yeah, that's actually true. And you want to mention that really quickly, kind of. If you are testing for Denver or any major events, Steven has been using a really cool service, and so has Sean. So if you want to talk about that really quickly, and we'll give him a free plug, I guess.
Oh yeah, I mean. Yeah, like I've actually spread this around to almost everyone, like in my closer like play group, but it's called Mana Traders. Mm-hmm. The system is really sweet. It's very quick. There are like some availability issues whenever like there's one deck that's dominant, or at the start of a new set like Hour of Devastation, for instance. Mm-hmm. And it's very awesome from a grinder's aspect because. In the 2 months that I've been like using Mana Traders, I've already borrowed like close to like 7,000 ticks worth of stuff. And it's just because it's like I'll pick up a deck, be like, all right, I didn't like this deck, throw it back. Pick up a deck, didn't like this one, throw it back. And just like being able to do that without actually having to invest the ticks or the money into that deck is just so sweet.
Yeah, and you're paying a flat monthly fee. Like what was it, like 35 bucks?
Yeah, for us, Sean and I, yeah, we went with the 35 for the up to 350 limit, and I've been very pleased with it. And I don't think unless I get like sponsored by someone, I'm ever gonna like end my subscription.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And like, I would be able to increase my amount of Magic that I play as well. So, and that's definitely one thing I've been looking at doing. So. I have been heavily considering it as well. So if you want to know more about it, I would definitely, you know, shoot Steven a message over on Twitter at Mr. Spell. Oh wait, at S Spell Pierce.
Yeah, it's S Spell Pierce. No, no mystery.
Yeah, S Spell Pierce.
But thank you, sir.
We're all gentlemen here after all. But yeah, shoot Steven a message over on Twitter at S Spell Pierce, and he will give you the full rundown on Mana Traders. And you might even get to play against him at an event. On Magic Online, or how cool would it be, Steven, if they could meet us in person?
Oh, you mean like at an upcoming event that all of us are kind of going to?
I think that might be kind of interesting, you know, not to, you know, toot our own horn, but we're kind of cool people in person.
Yeah, I'd be down to meet us, right?
I would meet us
really
too.
Weird
yeah.
conversation, but sure, let's go with it.
What's a little self-aggrandizing that, you know, but so you probably heard it here last week that we're going to be going to GP Vegas. Or not GP, but Denver.
Oh, man.
GP Denver. GP Vegas is next year. GP Denver, the weekend of August the 18th. And a lot of us from the EAT Newsflash, Sean's going to be there. Steven's going to be there. I'm going to be there. James will be
hopefully
there.
Hopefully Justin, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully Justin will be there too. And some other previous co-hosts and Motley Crews that you might recognize. And I am going to try and put together some cool free swag that you can, if you come up to me and say, hey, I know you from the podcast that you do, I will gladly give you some of this free swag. It's probably be like a little token of some kind that has like a little, you know, something on it. Yeah, so I will have those on me, and as will the rest of the co-host. So I hope to have that all taken care of in the next couple of weeks before that tournament kicks off, so I can have that with me at the tournament floor. So yeah, definitely come and say hello to us, and we're going to keep mentioning this until the weekend of GP Denver. So come and say hello to us, and we'll take pictures with us because we're so important.
Okay. Now you're pushing a little far. But we could at least, like, I think it'd be sweet for those who get in, like, early on Friday, we could do, like, a dinner meetup. We just need to, like, discuss and
Definitely. I'll be landing kind of early on Friday, so I am all for if there's any interest out there to hook up with us and, you know, hang out, that's I'm totally for it. And we can, you know, have a good magical time in Denver.
See, the thing is, you plan it, then they come.
Yes, we'll plan it first. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Yes. And if you invest in the $40 tier, you can have dinner with us.
What? No, there's no charge to this. They just like tag along to whatever restaurant. Get out of here.
And if you pledge now.
Oh, my gosh. This is because you don't have a Patreon set up yet,
no,
right?
No, it's not. This is not KERE either. This is not PBS. This is. There are no prize tiers. It's. No. Okay. Before we go too deep down that rabbit hole, I think that's all for tonight. Yeah, Standard looks great. Keep playing Magic. Don't let Wizards tell you that FM is not for you and franchise players out there. Keep going and get your free or your winnable double face token, and that's all. It's going to be great. And yeah, we're going to be back next week with probably more shenanigans. I am betting that Wizards will say something stupid again that we'll be able to dissect, and that'll be fun. And we will see the constantly changing center metagame. So that'll be fun too.
Yeah, they don't always say something stupid. It's okay. They hit pretty high sometimes too.
Yeah,
sometimes, it's okay. Don't dog on that hard.
Yeah, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But it's a toss up. So yeah. So as always, check us out over on Facebook at EOT Newsflash. Find us on Twitter at EOT Newsflash again. Steven's over on Twitter as well at SBellPierce. And you can find us on YouTube at EOT Newsflash as well. Just look for us on there. And also check out Sean's Twitch and YouTube channel, Busted Sleeves. He's been doing some MTGO streaming with some standard decks. So definitely check that out as well. He's been doing a lot of great job over there. And yeah, Steven, it's your turn to say it.
All right, let's do it again.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good night.